Later this month, Interfaith Alliance of Iowa is celebrating its silver anniversary. Active almost as long as the National Interfaith Alliance itself, the Iowa affiliate has many achievements to be proud of and many ongoing initiatives to stay busy for the next 25 years. Joining me now is the Interfaith Alliance of Iowa Executive Director, Connie Ryan. Connie, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton. It is a pleasure always to talk with you.
How did the Iowa Interfaith Alliance get started?
Well, there was a school board election in Des Moines, Iowa in 1995, and there was a sitting school board member who was known to his family and friends as his sexuality of being a gay man. And that became the issue of his reelection when the religious right came in and kind of swept into Des Moines and challenged him, not because of the things that he had accomplished or not accomplished on the school board, but simply because of his sexuality, and used all kinds of rhetoric. You can imagine what that was back in those days. And our school board elections are very short, and so there was not time to really organize around that and put a different narrative out there. And so he was defeated after having been on the school board for 12 years, simply because he is a gay man. And there was a group of folks who said that is wrong and that they believe differently from their faith than the religious right. And they, long story short, they organized and eventually created Interfaith Alliance of Iowa out of that contentious school board election.
So what has been your involvement personally over the years?
I started off actually as a student practicum, and then they asked me to stay and be the executive director. The work that we have done has been phenomenal, I think, in the growth of the organization. I started off part-time, eventually became full-time. We've now added two more staff. We do things very, very carefully and thoughtfully based on our mission and in our work. We, of course, continue to do work around LGBTQ rights, but we have added a broad spectrum of issues and concerns when it comes to challenging extremism, especially around hate, bigotry, and violence. Those are things that we care deeply about. But we also do a tremendous amount of work of protecting public schools, racial justice work, immigration reform, gun safety, gun violence prevention, those kind of things. And so we have just grown exponentially, both in our work and our reach throughout the state of Iowa.
Why was it important for you when you took the job? Why was it important for you to engage with these particular issues? And what has kept you motivated and committed all these years?
What was really important for me was that combination of politics and my faith, really, and being able to do this work because of my faith. I grew up in a household with two clergy persons as my parents, and we always talked about politics, and we always talked about that intersection of what our faith really drives us to do. And so it was not a foreign thing at all for me to have the conversations at the dinner table, even of around religion and politics. And so a lot of the issues that we work on are about civil rights for people who have been marginalized. And that is very near and dear to my heart because of people that I know, but also just my care and my passion that people should be treated fairly and equitably and given every opportunity to shine in their lives. And so I think that we've had a great platform, and this has given me a platform to do the things that I want to do and the things that I'm passionate about.
Connie, do you think that the same themes that we've been working on all these years will hold true to other activists and supporters there in Iowa? Are they looking at the same things you're looking at?
You know, you've been in this business a long time also, Welton, and we are seeing some of the same things come around again. Some of the fights that we had back in the 1990s, particularly targeted at the LGBTQ plus community, is now coming back around. Some of the same rhetoric when we're doing the work on racial justice issues, and we're seeing some of the same tropes that are coming around. There will always be a group of people who are marginalized. There will always be a group of people who are attacked because of who they are, whom they love, their skin color, their immigration status, whatever it is. In our country, we're pretty good at marginalizing people. And so the voice of Interfaith Alliance of Iowa, the voice of Interfaith Alliance, will always be important in these conversations because it brings a different perspective than sometimes what is heard in the public square.
Connie, what would you say are two or three of the most notable achievements or ongoing programs at Interfaith Alliance of Iowa?
So I would list a couple of different things that are our most notable accomplishments. We were a key ally partner in the work around marriage equality before marriage equality happened. You know, Iowa was the third state, the first in the Midwest to have marriage equality with the Varnum decision in 2009. But we were already doing work starting in about 2005, and then very intentionally having quiet conversations, as you used to talk about, with faith leaders of how they could engage in these conversations in their faith community. And we began that work in 2007. And so I'm very proud of the work that we did around that, even before the Varnum decision, and always in partnership with the LGBTQ community and the lead organizations in the state on those issues. That was important work to us. It's not that we may have marriage equality in Iowa, we may have marriage equality in the United States, but there's much more work to do to make sure that our brothers and sisters who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and more, that they have all the rights that everyone else does and are treated equitably, fairly, and with respect and dignity. So that's a big piece of our work. Another piece of our work is always working in coalition. I can't think of an issue that we work on that we're not working with other organizations, with other groups, with other stakeholders on an issue, whether that is gun safety and gun violence prevention, or whether that is immigration work, or whether that is our newly started racial justice work that we began really intentionally after George Floyd was murdered, and working with faith leaders across the state on that. We always work in coalition, and because we do that, we have strong relationships with a broad spectrum of groups, from civil rights to business to labor, et cetera. And then the third piece I would name is our public policy work at the legislature. We have a presence and have had a presence since 2005 at the legislature. In 2011, I began lobbying and am there full time during the legislative session, although not this past year, as you can predict. But we have been working in partnership, again, with all of those allied groups. We have had tremendous impact in public policy, sometimes moving things through, but more often stopping things. And that has been important work.
Personally, what's the most satisfying thing about doing this work?
Wow, I wasn't expecting that question, but it really is working with different people across the state. I love engaging in the work at that individual level and small group level, getting to know folks. We've had the opportunity in the last year, I mentioned our racial justice work, and COVID actually gave us an opportunity to meet different people around the state in a different way because of Zoom. And some folks that we may not have built relationships with. And for me, that is at the core of the work. When we're building relationships and having an impact on key issues that really impact people at the ground level, that is very rewarding. And It's what brings me hope, and why I stay in this work is because of the relationships that I have built personally, and that we have built as an organization.
Connie, who are some of the other folks who have made this 25th anniversary possible?
We have a whole team. First of all, you know, our board of directors, we have two boards for the Action Fund and then for Interfaith Alliance of Iowa. And they are all hands on, and I have always had just wonderful board members, and kudos to them for the commitment they have to the organization. And then on our staff team, I also have Kristen Clark, who's been with us for about 6-7 years as the administrative and communications person, and Bridget Fagan Reedburn, who is our newest staff person. She's been here 3 years as the development person. I have to give a shout out from the very beginning of the organization, Alicia Claypool, who is still working hard for all of the justice issues that really matter. And she has been a key partner always in the work that we do. On our website, you can find a couple of videos, and there will be a third video that goes up. And so we've partnered with a videographer to talk about our story and to tell our story. And so we have two, one from the very beginnings, one around our coalition work, and one on our public voice in the public square. And that tells a lot of our story, and some just really good partners that have always been supportive of our work and our work together.
Tell her hello, please. I'd like to have a conversation with her, too. As you look forward, what are the likely priorities going to be in the months and years ahead as you look at it?
I would say a couple of things. We're going to continue the racial justice work that we initiated last year, and that has become an important piece of the work that we do in making sure that we bring the progressive voice of faith and no faith into that conversation and engaging people, particularly in rural Iowa. And because we hear oftentimes, well, there aren't any Black people here, why should I care about racial justice work? Well, there's lots of reasons why you should care about that. And so we're going to continue that work. Our legislative work is ongoing, and not just during the legislative session. And we have turned into a very conservative state over the last few years. And so that has been hugely challenging. And we will continue to bring that progressive voice and work with our partner organizations, really making sure that there is always that religious voice, progressive voice in the public square, pushing back on the extremism that we are seeing in our state and beyond. Mm-hmm. And then I would add also some work around our courts. We continue to do work in that area and making sure that we have fair and impartial courts in our state and working with partner organizations mm-hmm. on that.
Connie, I want to go back to the celebration again. Talk about, if you would, the ways that you all are celebrating this 25th anniversary for Interfaith Alliance of Iowa, in particular the awards dinner on Monday, August 30th.
Yeah, we have really kind of planned out several things this year, and the award dinner is the biggest piece of that. And we have an annual award dinner. Last year it was virtual, but we are back to in person with a live stream option for those who don't feel comfortable. And it really is going to be a wonderful celebration. We'll be honoring a pastor here in Des Moines, and we'll be honoring One Iowa, which is the largest LGBTQ organization in the state, for their work and an important ally organization with us. And then we're also going to be honoring Des Moines Public Schools and the challenges, meeting the challenges that have happened over the last year, not only in terms of COVID, but some other internal kind of things. And but we also have three featured speakers, and they really are community leaders in the state. That instead of bringing a keynote speaker in, we decided to feature some of our local rock stars, and so that's going to be exciting. And you know, we'll have several hundred people in the room. You know, all COVID protocols, all of that in place. But it really will be a celebration of the last 25 years, but also looking toward the future. Part of what we're wanting to do is using this as a catalyst, a jumping off place for the future work that we want to do, particularly around the state and in rural Iowa. Those are some of the goals that we have as an organization. Other things that we've done, I talked about the videos that really feature the work that we have done, but also telling our story is another piece of that. So each week we have a weekly e-newsletter, and each week we're featuring a different person that has been an important piece of the puzzle in the work that we have done. So it's not just about staff. It is about the people who are engaged in this work around the state.
One last question, and it is an important one. As you know, on State of Belief, we often encourage listeners to think about whether affiliating with Interfaith Alliance is something they might want to do in their own communities. I think that may sound like a daunting task, but like everything else, it's a matter of taking it one step at a time. I think you're in a unique position for encouraging folks who might see the need for this kind of work around them and don't think they've qualified or will be qualified to take action. What would you say to those people?
You know, I would say just take the chance and jump in. If you are seeing in your community, whether it is a town or a county, a region or a state, and you are seeing that the religious right or the extremist voices have an exponentially higher level of influence in your area, and you want to make sure that there is also a balancing progressive voice in the public square and that that is needed in your community, take a chance and jump in, talk with Jay Keller or Jack Moline at Interfaith Alliance, and they can steer you right. I am always happy to talk with folks who are interested in the work. I am not clergy. You don't have to be clergy to do this work, but what you have to have is a passion for religious freedom and making sure religious freedom is not being used to harm other people. You have a passion for people's civil rights and issues of equality and equity, and you have a passion for making sure the progressive voice is out there in the public square and representing those voices that matter and representing people who don't always have the ability to have their voice in the public square. So if you feel like there's a place for it, then absolutely do that. Do the work. It's important work. And there's lots of people to support you and encourage you.
Connie Ryan is the longtime executive director of Interfaith Alliance of Iowa. She is a really good friend. She's celebrating its 25th anniversary this month. We'll link to the details of the awards dinner celebration from stateofbelief.com. Connie, happy anniversary, and thanks as always for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, Welton. I really appreciate the opportunity and love always talking with you.